The story is told of a young pastor who visited an elderly woman in the hospital. The pastor found the woman to be quite ill, gasping for breath and obviously nearing the end of her life. In the midst of tubes, bags, and beeping medical machines, the pastor says, "What would you like for me to pray for you today?" And the woman responded, "That I would be healed." The pastor gulped and then prayed, "Lord, we pray for your sustaining presence with this sick sister. And if it be your will, we pray she will be restored to health and to service. But if it is not your will, we certainly hope she will adjust to her circumstances." And immediately after the pastor puts an amen on this very safe prayer, the woman opens her eyes and sits up in bed. And then she throws her feet over the side and she stands up. Before the pastor can even react, the woman walks over to the door, pulls it open, and strides down the hospital corridor. The last thing the pastor hears before she disappears are the words, look at me, I'm healed." The pastor pushes his mouth closed, gets up, and slowly walks down the stairs out to the parking lot. There he sees no sign of the former patient. He opens his car door, and before he gets in, he stops, looks to the heavens, and says, "Please don't ever do that to me again." Healing is a tricky thing, for we have all been ill, we have all been hurt to one degree or another, and further, those that we love have been ill and have been hurt. And at some point, many of us have prayed for healing. It may have been a short prayer said in passing, it may have been the most earnest prayer that we have ever prayed. But most of us have prayed for healing, for ourselves or for someone else. And sometimes we or those that we have prayed for have received that healing. The cold goes away before the big presentation. The arm heals before the big game. The cancer is suddenly gone. But suddenly, and unfortunately, just as often, if not more often, the healing does not come. No matter how fervently we have prayed, the pain and the discomfort linger for days, weeks, or years even. The sickness won't go away. It sometimes even gets worse. And in some tragic situations, death comes before healing ever even shows its face. This is the uncertain and very real reality of life. Sometimes we are healed, and sometimes we are not. The second part of that reality makes this story from Mark an even harder pill to swallow. Two people, the daughter of a Jewish official and a woman suffering for years, are presented to Jesus with serious life-threatening conditions. And Jesus heals them. Now, this is not troubling in and of itself, except when we remember that countless more must have come, some that very day, and they did not receive healing. And countless more still come, and still some are healed, and still some are not. And so what are we to make of it? It is an age-old dilemma, and I'm sorry to say that we're not going to solve that dilemma today. This question, the why, Lord, why, it will linger for another day, and then another. So many have come before and found unsatisfactory answers, and today we join that long line. Why? Well, to put it simply, I do not know. At least not any more than any of you do. Why it is that some are healed, but some are not. Nevertheless, there is an important lesson to draw from this passage for today, where a little girl and a woman suffering for years are healed. And that lesson is this. Have faith. We don't know exactly why Jairus' daughter and the woman who had been hemorrhaging were healed, but we do know that they were healed. And we can be sure, for Mark certainly was, that it was the power of Jesus Christ alone that healed them. Without Jesus, the little girl would have remained dead, and the woman likely would have lived out the rest of her life with this debilitating condition. So what made the difference for them? Well, most importantly, it was the power and the will of Jesus Christ. But just as significantly, it was faith. The faith of Jairus and the faith of the woman that brought them to the feet of the great healer. Please understand that they had every reason to stay away. Jairus was the president of the synagogue, one of the religious elite who almost certainly saw Jesus as a threat more than anything else. He had so much to lose in coming to Jesus: his power, his influence, his status. But he had faith. Faith that this one that he had heard so much about just might be able to save the one thing that he loved most in this world: his daughter. Faith that drove him out of his safe position in the synagogue to the shoreline, where so many had gathered around this man from Nazareth who had the power to calm the storms and to cast out the demons. Faith that drove him to his knees at the feet of Jesus, a religious official groveling at the feet of a rabble-rouser. "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." It was desperation, sure, but there had to be faith there as well. Faith that Jesus could actually do something about the situation. Otherwise, why even bother? And what about that woman? Well, the woman was also clearly desperate. She had seen every doctor she could find, tried every cure. I mean, the Talmud alone prescribes 11 different cures for this condition, from tonics and astringents to sheer superstitions, like carrying the ashes of an ostrich egg in a linen rag in summer and a cotton rag in winter. She had spent all of her money and was still not well. Her condition made her perpetually unclean, and thus she was an outcast among her people. She suffered physical pain, sure, but emotional torment as well, isolation and embarrassment and humiliation. "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." It's remarkable faith. And so she fights through the crowd, the same people who would mock her and cross to the other side of the road if they saw her coming. She has to know that she will be seen, ridiculed, chastised, perhaps even arrested. And yet her faith drives her forward. And she stretches out her hand, and she touches his robe. And in that moment, she is healed. And Jesus then says to the woman, "Daughter," something she hasn't been called in years, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." And to Jairus, when news reaches him that his beloved daughter has died, Jesus says, "Do not fear, only believe." Faith. Alone, it has no power to heal, for only Jesus has that power. It does not even hold the promise of a healing. As we've noted, some are healed and some are not. And that includes the most faithful. But without it, faith, they do not come. Not Jairus, not the woman. And without it, we do not come either. Without faith that Jesus has the power to heal and wills to use it, we do not come to him. Instead, we stay away because, like Jairus, we are afraid we might lose even more if we do throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus. Because we too are proud people. We shouldn't need someone else's help. Besides, what would the others think if they knew that I stooped so low as to kneel at someone else's feet? I can do this on my own. Or maybe we stay away because we're too embarrassed, the same fears that woman had. because we're private people. Others don't need to know what our business is. Jesus has more important things to do or to worry about. Besides, I could never face those stares or those whispers. No, I'll stay away and I'll face this condition with my dignity intact. Whatever the reasons may be, and there are plenty, we must decide if we have enough faith that Jesus can heal to overcome our excuses. Faith does not heal. But faith puts one foot in front of the other until we are face to face with the one who can heal. There is another very important role that faith plays in this healing process. Namely, faith opens the eyes of our hearts to see that healing is more than just the driving out of disease. Noted preacher and professor Tony Campolo tells a story about being in a church in Oregon where he was asked to pray for a man who had cancer. Campolo prayed boldly for the man's healing, and the next week he received a telephone call from the man's wife. She said, "You prayed for my husband. He had cancer." Campolo thought when he heard her use the past tense verb that his cancer had been eradicated. But before he could think much about it, she said, "He died." And Campolo felt terrible. But the woman continued, "Don't feel bad. When he came into that church that Sunday, he was filled with anger. He knew he was going to be dead in a short period of time, and he hated God. He was 58 years old, and he wanted to see his children and grandchildren grow up. And he was angry that this all-powerful God didn't take away his sickness and heal him. He would lie in bed and curse God. The more his anger grew towards God, the more miserable he was to everybody around him. It was an awful thing to be in his presence." But the woman continued, "After you prayed for him, a peace had come over him and a joy had come into him. Tony, the last 3 days have been the best days of our lives. We've sung, we've laughed, we've read scripture, we prayed. Oh, they have been wonderful days. And I called to thank you for laying your hands on him and praying for healing." And then she said something incredibly profound. She said, "He wasn't cured, but he was healed." He wasn't cured, but he was healed. Having faith in the great healer goes beyond believing that he has the power to heal. With stories like these from Mark and those that are written each day in the lives of people we know and love, it is ultimately not that difficult to believe. Having faith also means having trust. Trust that he knows what is best for us and for our world, and that he is working for good for all those who love him. Trust that though we have one thing in mind when we ask for healing, he may well have something very different, far greater, in mind. Again, it doesn't mean that we or those we love will be spared. The victory is won, but we know that the battle is not over. But it does mean that though it may not take the form we desire or expect, the healing may still come. He wasn't cured, but he was healed. We have all been sick. We've all been hurt, sickness of the spirit and injury to the heart included. Some are suffering even now. Unfortunately, I offer no guarantee of a cure. I can't even guarantee a healing akin to the one received by the man for whom Dr. Campolo prayed. I wish I could. Trust me, I do. Too many men and women in my position have naively done so to the great peril of the people in their care. It is simply not that easy or that definitive. I can't even begin to venture a guess as to why our Lord chooses to heal some and not others, though I am certainly glad that that decision is not in my hands. What I can do is encourage you all to have faith. Faith that our Lord does have the power to heal. Faith that our Lord loves us and wants what is best for us. And faith that puts one foot in front of the other, putting behind all that would hold us back and falling at the feet of the great healer. We're reaching out to simply touch his robe. It is the best we can do. And it is the best that we can do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.